Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is Bonafide Bible Talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. God gave Noah the rainbow sign. No more water, the fire next time. It's a little nursery rhyme from which James Baldwin borrows for the title of one of his notable works called The Fire Next Time. Talks about how after ignoring warnings for righteousness and all of these things, that the earth was destroyed by a flood. And that God promised that he would never destroy the earth by a flood again. Now in the book of 2 Peter, we got the Apostle Peter writing this letter, and he talks about the second coming of Christ, the return of Jesus, if you will, the day of the Lord. And one of the things that Peter puts forward in this argument is the time that God hit the reset button on creation, basically, when he floods the world. Now, this is only a few chapters into the book of Genesis, right? And in the beginning of Genesis, one of the first things that God does in the act of creation is separate the waters above from the waters below. God separates the waters in order to create the world. And in this great flood, the waters are rejoined. It's almost as though God is undoing creation to redo creation. And this happens in response to human wickedness. But in 2 Peter 3, we talk about the second coming. It says that that's not going to happen again. And that kind of lines up with the Genesis account, because it also says that God promised he would never destroy the earth through flood again. That's why we get the rainbow in the Bible. Then Peter goes on to say that in this second coming, in the day of the Lord, that the heavens and the earth are reserved for the fire by which the ungodly will be done away with. And so just as the water acts as a purifying agent through the flood, the fire acts as a purifying agent in the day of judgment. And that in part is why we associate fire with the idea of hell and judgment day, hellfire. But the thing about purifying agents is that they're not just for destruction. You see, water was once used to destroy the earth, but water is also used for purifying and cleansing things. And just as fire can be used for destroying things, it can also be used for refining things and proving the quality of a metal or a valuable thing. Almost as if to say that whatever makes it through the fire is the real thing. Whatever makes it through the fire can be trusted. Whatever makes it through the fire ain't no fool's gold. And so on this episode of the New Living Translation, we're gonna revisit a passage that we talked about back in season 2. In that season, there's an episode called 10 Toes Down When the Beat Drop. But this time, as we search for hope in Revelation, we gonna have us some bona fide Bible talk as we take a trip through the fire in Daniel chapter 3. Let's get into it. King Nebuchadnezzar made this big old golden monument. That joint was 90 feet tall and about 11, 12 feet wide. He put it smack dab out in Dura in Babylon. King Neb told everybody, I'm talking senators, governors, cabinet members, advisors, money folks, the judges, the feds, everybody up under him from all over the empire to come to the party for the new statue King Neb was unveiling. Then all of them senators, governors, cabinet members, advisors, money folks, judges, feds, everybody up under him, they came together for the unveiling of the monument that King Neb set up. And they was just standing at attention. Then the MC shouted out,
"This how it's going down for all of y'all, whoever you are, wherever you from. However you talking, when you hear the music start playing, trumpets, flutes, harps, the whole dang orchestra, soon as the beat drop, so do you. Bow down. You gonna pay homage to the golden monument King Neb done put up. Anybody who ain't paying homage, They getting tossed in a blazing oven.
So when the beat dropped, when they heard all them trumpets, the flutes, the harps, the whole dang orchestra, they dropped too. They bowed down. All of them. Whoever they were. Wherever they was from. However they talked. They paid homage to the golden monument King Neb put up. And right around then, some Chaldeans came forward, snitching on some Jews. They started sucking up on some long live the king type stuff.
King Neb. You said that anybody who hit a beat drop, trumpets, the flutes, the harps, the whole dang orchestra, everybody had a drop to bow down and pay homage to the golden monument. You said anybody who ain't pay homage, they get tossed in the blazing oven. Well, it's these Jews you put in charge of the state of Babylon named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they out here dissing you. They don't rock with your gods, and they ain't paying homage to the golden monument you just put up.
King Neb got 38 hot and sent word to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The goons went and brought them to the king. King Neb spoke to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, saying, "Yo, is what I'm hearing true? Y'all not rocking with my gods? Y'all not paying homage to the golden monument I set up? Now, if y'all ready to act right, when you hear the beat drop, the horns, the flutes, the harp, the whole dang orchestra, you drop down and pay homage to the monument I put up. Because if you don't, y'all get it tossed in the oven. Now, which god supposed to save y'all from my wrath?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Neb,
"We ain't even worried about it. If the god we serve can save us from the oven, he gonna save us from your wrath and from burning up. But even if he don't, we need you to know that we ain't rocking with your guys or your little golden monument."
Then Neb was heated, had a stank face on looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He told the goons to heat the oven up like 7 times higher than they usually kept it. Told the most decorated vets in his army to tie Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and toss them in the blazing oven. They tied them up, still wearing all their coats, pants, hats, all that. And they tossed them in a super blazing oven. Because the king was ordering around folks so quick, and the oven was so hot, the men who tossed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego then got fried up and killed. But the three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell into the blazing oven still tied up. Then King Neb thought he was tripping. He hopped up quick and spoke to a circle. "Ain't we throw 3 dudes up in that fire?" And they answered the king, like,
"Sure enough."
He said, "Check this out. I see 4 dudes chilling, walking in the middle of a fire, and they ain't even hurt. The fourth one of them looking like the son of God." Neb went near the blazing oven and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Made men of the Most High God. Come up out of there." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up out the fire. And all the senators, governors, cabinet members, advisors, the money folks, the judges, the feds, the king's yes men, they came together and seen that the fire ain't have no power over their bodies or their hair and won't none of their clothes burnt and ain't even smell hot. Neb said,
"Praise Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. He sent his angel to save his men who trusted in him. They told the king to kick rocks and put their bodies on the line before they chose to rock with or bow down to anything but their own God. So I got a new word. Whoever you are, wherever you from, however you talking, you say anything slick about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, you getting cut down and your house getting burnt up. Because ain't no other God who could save like this one."
Then the king gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a promotion. You ever notice that sometimes trying to do the right thing seems like it gets you in the wrong place? Such is the way of the world. Sometimes trying to stick by your moral compass, trying to stand in integrity, will put you in the stickiest situation imaginable. It would have been way easier for you to just go with the flow, to just do what everybody else was doing. Because now that you are trying to stick by a code, you are sticking out like a sore thumb, so much so that you have made yourself an enemy in some senses. As a matter of fact, the people in charge may have gotten there by charting a different course, a course that necessarily goes against what you believe or even know to be right. And that is how empires work. That is how anytime we see a global power come to the scene and take over the whole world, whether it be the Assyrians in the ancient Near East or the Babylonians or the Persians or the Greeks, or the Romans, or the British, or the Soviets, or the All right, let me stop. When you see somebody rise to the top in that fashion, what has happened is that they have established a new order, a new way of doing things that will require forcing some people to conform to some things that go against their own values. And such is the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And to their credit, these brothers did not flinch. They did not duck. They said, do what you got to do. We going to stand on business. They talking cash with the king of Babylon in this moment. He says, hey, y'all, don't make me do this. Like, you know, I'm going to do it for real. Just do what I say and stuff ain't got to get ugly. And they say, hey, man, do what you got to do. He getting mad now. Like, what does you mean do what you got to do? You know I'm going to do it for real. Like, can't nobody save you. I'm him. I'm really him. And they say, hey, our God is the type of God who saves people. But even if our God don't do nothing in this situation, we still not going to do it. Like, do what you got to do. And so in this instance, the king does what he has to do. Now, here's where the story gets interesting, where it gets a little fascinating for me, because it says that after the king throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, that he hops up to his feet and he gets as close as he can to this fire. And it can't be too close, because remember, somebody else got real close. They got burnt up. And he says, wait a second. Didn't we throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire? Everybody was like, yeah, you seen it. And he said, okay, that's three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why do I see four people in that fire? And the fourth person looks like a son of the divine. It looks like they glowing. What is happening here? No, this cannot be so. And it looks as though Nebuchadnezzar has to run some quick math in his head, because he says to the people in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come up out that fire. Now, the interesting thing about this story to me is that when Nebuchadnezzar ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire, it was after they had testified about the power of their God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe nothing, and so he had them thrown into the fire. As a matter of fact, he had them crank the fire up to let them know the type of dude they was messing with. And when they go into the fire, he notices, he perceives that they are not alone. And so sometimes the fire that we've been afraid of this whole time, the fire that we think is hell based on what people have told us, is actually the place where God meets us. We do all sorts of things to avoid this fire. But if we were to stick by what we know to be true, willing to go into the fire and to test that metal to see what is pure, we might find God in the middle of that fire, protecting us from that fire to the extent that the people who want to see us burn in the fire learn something about who God is. You see, three people who trusted in God were thrown into the fire. And then a fourth person who was not only not in that fire, they were the cause of that fire. They were the reason that fire existed. They see these people willingly go into the fire. And this observer notices a fourth person in the fire. He realizes that the people that he threw in the fire for what he thought was their destruction were not alone in the fire, and he calls them out of the fire, and he says something really astute in that moment. He calls them by their name and says that they are servants of the Most High God. Interestingly enough, that is what they said and insinuated and testified about before they were thrown into the fire in the first place. And it's only in the fire, when that God met them there and protected them in the fire, that he was able to agree about the character of God. And some of us have been through the waters of baptism. Some of us are afraid of the fires of hell. But I need to let somebody know that sometimes that fire is not there for your judgment, but for your refining. Sometimes it is in that fire that you and the people around you come to know who God is. Sometimes it is encouraging to know that God is the type of God who will meet you in fires that you didn't even make, so that you can come out unscathed, and so that people got to look on the type of God that you are rocking with and they say, that is a pretty big God. Sometimes it takes the fire to reveal the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of God, even in the face of powers that are meant to destroy us. And so, like the Apostle Peter, and like the writer James Baldwin, if it's through the waters that God not only destroys, but creates, then maybe it's through the fire that we learn about the fullness of who God is. Let me pray with you. God, who is both creator and purifier, we ask that you would meet us in the fires of our lives, to the extent that we not only come to see you more clearly, but that the people who be tripping on us got to see who you are too. Amen. Appreciate you joining us for another episode of the New Living Translation. Don't forget to show us some love by leaving us a rating and a review. If you got a Bible question you want to see us wrestle with on the show, go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 305-290-1190. Once again, that's 305-290-1190. To see what else I got going on, to find out where you can follow me, or find out how you can reach out to me so we can rap a little bit, visit PastorTrey05.com. There you can listen to the Three Black Men podcast, subscribe to my newsletter, The Sun Do Move, or find out where you can buy my book, Theologizing Bigger, Homilies on Living Freely and Loving Holy. All of that, so much more available at PastorTrey05.com. There should be a link to it in the show notes for you. The New Living Translation is a production of Three Black Men, Theology, Culture, and the World Around Us. A lot of this work is made possible by the generous contributions of people in our Patreon community. If you'd like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Also linked in the show notes. Until we meet again, beloved, remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.